Hello and welcome back to the Green Divas. Today it's going to be about desertification, and I have two wonderful guests with me. To my left, Josephine Orr, she's a scientist from the UNCCD, and Margaret Gauty, she's a farmer from Mali, Timbuktu. And yeah, we're going to hear about their story and their effects and reasons of desertification.
Hi, my name is Josephine Orr. And as Veronica said, I'm the lead scientist for the United Nations Convention to Combat Desertification. The short form is UNCCD. I'm 33 years old and my career has been focused on coupled human and environmental systems, undergoing environmental change and bridging the divides between science, policy, practice and society. And I'm the senior scientist of the UN panel.
Hello everyone, I'm Margaret Gauty, a farmer from Mali, Timbuktu, and live there with my three children and my husband. I am 35 years old and I have been a farmer for 30 years.
The definition of desertification is emerge of new deserts and spread of already existing ones.
Up to 40% of all land is in poor condition. With vast areas drying out every year, ecosystems dying and steppes becoming deserts. Land degradation affects half of all people in the world. The UNCCD aims to prevent our planet from becoming a desert. First of all, it should be mentioned that there is a precursor to desertification. Degradation, which simply means that an area of land loses productivity. This can be a forest, where less photosynthetics takes place or where biodiversity decreases. The extreme case of land degradation is desertification. This happens in places on Earth where water is already scarce. These areas are particularly prone to becoming unproductive. The characteristic of desert areas is that the land becomes infertile and no agriculture is possible. The world population is growing every year and thus more food is needed. To meet the demand for food, land that is not suitable for agriculture use is also being used. To get enough yield from these areas, excessive fertilizers are used and crops are grown permanently. The soil is not given time to regenerate, resulting in an annual loss of nutrients. In Europe, we are dealing with another problem, namely land sealing. When our cities grow, and they do, more and more impermeable surfaces are created in which rain can no longer seep away naturally. Water then runs off through parking lots, roads, or the roofs of houses much faster than it would if it landed on trees, fields, or meadows. It also absorbs the chemical contained in road tar, for example. The condition of our soils is therefore closely linked to our water cycle. And here, an additional problem is that European agriculture is largely dependent on chemical fertilizers, which make the soil more productive in the short term, but depleted in the long term. Like desertification, soil degradation is mainly caused by humans. National phenomena and climatic conditions can additionally increase the effects. Another reason for desertification is the water consumption. Water resources are needed and consumed to supply the growing population and livestock, for agricultural irrigation, and to expand and sustain tourism. As a result, groundwater levels are dropping in effective areas and surrounding soils are drying out. Additionally, there is the climate change as one of the main reasons for desertification. Currently, the Earth's climate is getting warmer. There are more periods of drought and lack of rainfall in already dry areas affected by desertification. Global warming is therefore exacerbating already extreme local climatic conditions and promoting desertification. If one is concerned with land degradation and desertification, one must also be concerned with climate change. Everyone who is concerned about climate change, about biodiversity, or about protecting soils has the same goal: to preserve our ecosystems for all life, including our own. One thing we look at as a panel, for example, is how much organic carbon is in our soil, because that also determines the fertility of the soil. But it also makes sense from the point of view of climate protection for the soil to store it, so it doesn't end up in the atmosphere and doesn't contribute to further global warming. climate change, the loss of biodiversity, less water and poorer soil. It's all connected. And humans depend on it. They are natural monocultures. To short fallow periods or too many pesticides or fertilizers, for example. But our report also shows that there's often more behind these immediate reasons. For example, where policies do not provide incentives for conversion to more sustainable and organic practices, soils fare particularly badly. This can have the greatest impact on the most vulnerable, such as indigenous communities, for whom healthy land is the most important asset.
Soil mismanagement means if the soil is mismanaged, it could lead to desertification. An example, soils lose nutrients when they are continuously tilled and have no regeneration time. When incorrect irrigation methods are used, when too much fertile soil is applied, or when monocultures are incorrectly grown.
In case English is not your mother tongue, I'm going to explain a few words that Margaret just used. Fertilizer is a material that is used to help plants grow. Irrigation is the professional term for watering plants. When an area is tilled, it is used as a field for farmers.
Weak governments often fail to protect land as a property. When this is the case, it is gone very quickly, because smallholders have to sell their land or give it away under pressure. There are about 680 million farming families in the world, and any government should see them as small businesses that need the same startup assistance as any other business. If the government protects their rights and gives incentives for them to make their farming more sustainable, then many are willing to do so. Unfortunately, however, the reverse happens, and instead of promoting sustainability, many countries facilitate access to fertilizers.
Big cause also is deforestation. Deforestation means the reduction of the tree population in order to create areas for industry, agriculture or housing on the obtained sufficient fuel and building material from wood. Without the natural protection of the tree grounds and root systems, the soil layers are eroded more quickly by wind and precipitation.
Thanks, Margaret. That's really interesting. Josephine, do you have something to add?
Brazil shows what can go wrong, and also what can succeed. In the northeast of the country, small investments are protecting the savanna from further drying out, at least in some places. In the Caatinga, farmers have been able to partially restore the water source network and now allow cattle to graze on a smaller scale. On the other hand, the Cerrado, the savanna of central Brazil, has become a place to which investors and large farmers are drawn since the Amazon rainforest has been more strictly protected. That's the challenge. If you want to protect a certain area, but forget about another one next to it, dramatic changes can occur. Because economic forces always seek the path of least resistance.
So, Margaret, are there any other problems or causes for desertification?
Yes, of course. For example, overgrazing. Overgrazing means that too many animals, for example, cows, are kept on too small an area, and then the plant cover is stressed faster, more than it can regenerate. Without this plant layer, soils heat up faster and then lose moisture, they dry out faster.
So what are the consequences and what can we do against it?
One consequence is habitat destruction. That means that in order to be able to continue to supply the population with food, we need more land, and the habitat of plants, animals or people is destroyed.
Because of that, desertification is already considered a serious problem, which is why approaches to combat it have been established. For example, the UN signed the Desertification Convention in 1994. This is an agreement to combat desertification-affected countries. The goal of the agreement is to establish more sustainable land use to prevent the spread of deserts.
Well, let's hope that's going to work.
Yes, but unfortunately, overgrazing and deforestation lead to the destruction of vegetation. and without vegetation, dune formation, soil erosion and drying of the soil occur, soil fertility is also lost and the groundwater level drops. Unfortunately, biodiversity decreases, which can lead to the extinction of various plant and animal species.
Josephine, tell me, what is actively done to fight against desertification?
A very nice project is the Green Great Wall. The aim of the Green Great Wall project is to plant an 8,000-kilometer strip of trees in the Sahel from Senegal to the Horn of Africa by 2030. This is intended to create jobs, secure food, prevent people from relocating, and most importantly, prevent the spread of desertification in Africa. When completed, the Green Wall will be 3 times the size of the Great Barrier Reef.
Ain't that great? Would that help you, Margaret?
Surely, it would threat to human livelihood. As you know, desertification makes the soil infertile and the amount of arable land shrinks. For people who live off agriculture like me, this means economic losses and threats to their livelihoods. There is a famine and poverty and as a result displacement and immigration. Unfortunately, we are not doing so well here in Mali and I fight every day to keep my children from dying of hunger. We will leave the city in a few years.
I see. Josephine, what measures can be taken to stop it?
Most certainly reforestation. Targeted planting of trees and shrubs to restore vegetation. Also a sustainable use of resources. Use proper irrigation methods and allow time for the soil to regenerate. And, for sure, educating the affected population so that sustainable agriculture is practiced in the future.
All right. That sounds great. Margaret, is there anything left you want to say?
Yes, of course. And one more consequence is conflicts and social problems. This means that when poverty increases, the likelihood of social conflicts is neither. Employment increases because skilled workers are no longer needed at agriculture. Migration to the cities is the consequence, where affordable housing and free jobs become scarce and slums can form. I can therefore be glad that I still have my job.
And we will pray that you will have it in the future as well. Is there anything left you want to say?
The Sahel is the northern African region that spans the southern length of the Sahara Desert.
As Margaret said, the Sahel Zone is a transitional area in Africa that's 400 kilometers wide and 7,000 kilometers long. The zone extends once across of all Africa, stretching from the Red Sea to the Atlantic Ocean. In the north of the Sahel is the Sahara, and in the south is the zone of African wet savanna. The Sahara spreads further and further into the surrounding Sahel. This is because the climate in the Sahel favors desertification. Drought and a fluctuating rainfall prevail. Much of the soil in the Sahel is infertile, and the development of more arable land for agriculture and the clearing of trees are increasing desertification. To stop desertification in the Sahel, the Green Wall project was launched.
Thanks for explaining it to all of us who didn't know what desertification was. I will miss you. Have a great day.
Thank you for having me here. Bye!